WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Thanksgiving weekend and leftovers and pumpkin pie and hopefully a little a la mode with our friends at Wise Markets. Throw a little ice cream on there. It'll freshen things up. I prefer vanilla bean myself. We're going to put the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on ice for a week. We'll be back after it next week. We're going to be going to Fadley's and Costas before the holidays are over. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We did have a $20 winner last week out at Pappas. Had a good time at Pappas last week. Had David Steele out with us. Also, Mike Bordick from the Orioles. People think the Orioles players don't get along with me. They love me once they don't work for Angelos anymore. And Adam Kolarik also joined us with his dad, Frank, talking about League of Dreams and getting people to play baseball. That seems a little chilly for baseball right now. Bill Cole joins us from Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. By the way, I think I got your lead for a roof and solar. One of my newest clients took me out onto his roof the other day, and I looked around and I thought, do you know Bill Cole?
So what you're saying is after I don't know how long we've known each other, it finally all clicked together for you.
That I have a brand new client says, hey, let me take you and show you the roof. And I'm like, well, there must be a reason that you're showing me the roof. You must need to know Bill Cole. So, you know, of course, I said, do you know Bill Cole? He's like, yeah, the city councilman. Now, no, not that Bill Cole, the other Bill Cole. So,
the less useful one. That's what I always say. The other Bill Cole is much more useful than I am.
Well, you do a few things well.
here's my question. So I appreciate the lead. Just why don't you go ahead and pre-send, or you can like set the time on the email, you know, of when it goes out. Just send that for like January 5th, because I feel like, you know, we're right about at that point where no one pays any attention to anything for the next couple weeks. Yeah, that's just an amazing, I don't think you realize it until you mentally think about it. And then you look around and you're like, yeah, nobody does anything. It's very,
well, I'll be working my ass off this weekend. So, you know, I've got all sorts of things I have to do. You know, I actually got the video back. This is the stuff that falls to the bottom of the ocean, because I have work and work and work and sales and work. And I run a radio station and I run, you know, like all of this stuff. And I got the video of me doing the Hammerjacks conversation for the documentary. There's a new Hammerjacks documentary out, and they sat me down at Meriwether and they gave me the full 42 minutes that I sat there, of which they used probably 18 seconds of my thing, right? So I have all of these stories that I've now told that wound up on the cutting room floor, right?
Sure.
So I'm trying to put those together. So I'm just doing fun things like that. Like the new website, when I've shown it to people, Baltimore Positive, I'm like, I have all of this archival stuff that I've never even put up. Like my wife said to me the other day, she saw The Rock. She's like, hey, you've interviewed The Rock, haven't you? I said, yeah, a couple times. She's like, well, is it on the website? I'm like, no, you know, they're cool. She said, well, you should get that stuff up there. People would like to watch that. And I'm like, all right, I got to go. Now, I did that 3 years ago when I started the website. Now I got to go back and do it. So that's what I do on Thanksgiving weekend, in addition to drink eggnog and eating lots of leftovers, because my wife insists we got a free turkey from Wise because of the points. I had over 400 points on my at 463 points. So I was like, oh, let's get the turkey, you know, 18-pound turkey. We got that. There's just two of us. I said to her, what are you going to do?
Like, make soup.
She dislikes saying turkey tetrazzini. She likes saying that. So she's going to make turkey tetrazzini because she likes saying that. But I'm like, we got to do some, like, get some turkey soup recipes out. Bean chili or something like that. But give me your Thanksgiving thing. What do you do?
I just want to make a special point to all the wives out there, because what your wife did was exactly what they're good at. It's like, even if you feel good about how you're doing, they seem to remember and notice something that you could do better, and they're quick to help us remember that. So wives are always good for that. I always appreciate that. So get your stories up on the website, Nestor. I don't know what's taking you so long. Thanksgiving was going to be super low key. You know, kids play a lot of sports, and we finally like get to take a deep breath for about a week before everything picks back up. So it was going to be just us. I like cooking. The 12-year-old has claimed she's the mashed potato maker. The 9-year-old, she thinks she gets to make the turkey, which just really kind of shows you how little 9-year-olds understand about the critical nature of the turkey making.
Tell the 12-year-old the garlic salt in the boiling water when you boil the potatoes, key. That's, I mean, this garlic salt, lots of garlic salt in there. Get that garlic going with the potatoes. Get that working. It will wake your potatoes up. You'll have a different kind of mashed potato here.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure she's at that stage where she's open for suggestions. She believes she has this nailed right now. So, but I'll be happy to pass on the information.
She has the food channel. They all know how to cook that, right?
right. So we were going to do it ourselves, and then my parents and sister, they usually go to the beach, but they're not going. So now they're all coming over. So it'll be a little bit of a different one. Usually we're kind of quiet on Thanksgiving. So we'll host.
You and I ran around the beach last summer when it was nice and we didn't even go to the beach. I can't imagine. Like, I went down there. I had a bad experience on New Year's Eve, 95, going into 96 with Batman. You know, it wound up on the coastal highway. Graham Minier and Bud Ice was involved, and it was a bad night. I don't go to Ocean City in the winter, although I know I would love it. You know, I know there would be a point where there'd be like, oh, this is nice. This is really nice. And if it gets into the 50s, you could actually like take a walk down the boardwalk.
Yeah. Not that bad. We were actually down there last weekend for a soccer tournament for my 12-year-old. And like Saturday wasn't too bad. It was cold, but it wasn't too bad. And, you know, shameless plug, like the Alley-Oops is open. And that's kind of like an amazing place where
What's that?
You're indoors. It's like the boardwalk with all the video games and the quarter machines and all that, but there's bar so you can drink at the same time and it's climate controlled. It's actually pretty good spot.
It's user friendly is what you're saying.
It's a pretty good spot if you need to like find something to kill about 4 hours and some ungodly amount of money. But
I don't know anything about Alley-Oop in Ocean City.
Yeah, it's part of the Ropewalk family. Yeah, good stuff. Check it out.
He still owes me money. Let him know when you see
it. All right.
Yeah, we'll, there aren't many people I would say that about on the radio, but yeah.
We'll chase him down.
Guy at Ropewalk didn't pay his bill. So yeah, that's true. 10 years ago. So Bill Cole is here. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He's going to be putting a solar panel, a stack up onto a friend of mine's place. He just doesn't know it yet. So for football and for fall and for
There's no football this holiday. It's all soccer. Soccer from the time you get up till the time you go to bed. Soccer.
It's on right now. I'm watching it right now. Don't say that. Nobody scored, but don't tell anybody.
Right.
Are you of the mindset like watching? Have you watched any soccer?
Not yet. My DVR did not work, so I didn't record the U.S. game, which apparently I would have been distraught about anyway. So it's okay.
They talk about sports washing and like, what's going on politically and Daniel Snyder's problems. I mean, we got a football owner here that thinks I'm not a media member, that thinks just throwing me out after 26 years, I'm not going to call him names for the rest of his life. So, true names, by the way. But the sports washing part of this thing, it's amazing, dude. Like the real journalists that I follow, because I follow real journalists. I don't follow Fox News. But all of this is presented by Fox. So it's all presented in this bubble where no one dies. There's no political leaders. This thing wasn't bribed for like all of this. But you watch it and you see how plastic the whole thing is. You see all of these Qatar ads. Every commercial stop said it's bring your business to Qatar. We're good people in Qatar. We cut everybody and we cut everybody out and we bribe to get this thing. And you never would have heard of us if we didn't bribe all these people and pay off all these people to bring sport to our
country. All right. So here's my question, right? So on Netflix, right, is a FIFA documentary about all the corruption and all that. And I guess, like, I find it very difficult from the standpoint of, so I agree, FIFA is corrupt. It is undeniable, okay? Where I think we struggle as humans at this point, especially in a global world, is I don't know that corrupt automatically means criminal. Right. Like, I think those things are two different buckets.
Like, so Steve Bisciotti throwing out legitimate media members, that's corrupt, but it might not be criminal.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, I think that one's probably a little bit clearer that it's not OK and it might be illegal. But
letting the white guy go cover the team, but not letting the Latin guy. You think maybe that might be against the law?
I think that like, okay, so FIFA started as a group of soccer associations come together, do all this stuff, right? And the documentary is great. Like, it really gives
you... It's called FIFA Uncovered for those who want to go see. I haven't seen it yet, but I know a lot about it.
It's pretty good. Like, it really covers from, like, the 70s to today.
Dude, I'm shocked you watched it.
Oh, what are you talking about? That's fascinating. Like, corrupt, giant...
Dude, were you of the news mindset 7-8 years ago when the thing happened in Switzerland and the USD cracked down on them and the FBI came in?
I mean...
I woke up that morning and I'm like, oh my God. You know,
I'm aware, like, right. I'm aware that it took place, but I had, at that point in time, I would have no idea who Sepp Blatter was, right? Like, I have no idea who the president of FIFA is, or, and I guess the topical discussion point that I struggle with is even at, and I'm going to spoil the documentary that kind of everyone already knows what happened, but I'm going to spoil it anyway. At the very end of the documentary, they ask Sepp Blatter, do you feel responsible for what's going on? Now, remember, Sepp Blatter never got indicted by the FBI. He's never been convicted of anything. There was one...
Neither is Donald Trump either, but we all watched the crime.
There was one issue, you know, a payment to... I can't remember the guy's name, but a French guy, I think. And it was looked bad, but they dug it up and eventually, and it got him banned, and it got, you know, it was sort of like guilty by association. They ask him, does he feel responsible? And his answer was, I feel responsible for the 200 people that work at FIFA, but you have to understand the structure of the organization. So all these different groups and committees, the Caribbean nations, the African nations, they all elect a spokesman, you know, like a committee chairperson that they then send to FIFA, to the board.
CONCACAF is what it was called.
There you go. Nice.
I know a lot about this, dude. This is what I do for a living. That's why people listen to the show.
So they elect that person, then they send them on to this board. And
Jack Warner from Trinidad. Warner. There you go. Yeah. And the fat guy from New York, is he in this too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy with the birds character. Living at the top of Trump Tower, right? The
main
Russians.
Character.
Are main, right, exactly.
Yeah. Main character. One of the main characters. Him and Jack Warner, main characters. But he said they send these people to me, right? And then we work through the board decisions. He said those people come with their own country's culture and values, what they believe is okay and what they believe is not okay. There's no way I can be responsible for that. And yeah, okay, that's a little bit like...
you want to play the World Cup?
I know there's bad stuff going on over here.
Are there people in Qatar? Are there? How do we say that? Qatar? No. It's not Qatar. It's Qatar. Okay. Or Qatar. Or well, they don't have any stadiums. They have no sport infrastructure. Seoul. They have the most money. They have oil money. Let's go. We'll give it. I mean, come on, man. I mean, Sepp Blatter is not corrupt. He should be in jail. He's a criminal. You know what I mean? Like, if you're part of the criminal and you know the criminal thing is going on and then pass the buck, you're a criminal.
Yeah, but how, you're a criminal. If you and I had an organization that made rock concerts, right? And it, or festivals, right? We'll go with like HFS style festivals.
Okay.
And we go out and we get Coke and Pepsi and Taco Bell and whoever, and they give us millions of dollars in sponsorships. We've got TV rights. So we have now built this asset that generates, you know, millions of dollars every 4 years. If a country comes to you and says, I want you to have your concert in our country, like, okay, I'm not sure that's good for our brand. I'm not sure our customers are going to go there. Wait a second, we probably should have something to say about human rights, and this is probably a bad idea for our brand. And they say, well, we'll pay you $200 million to bring it. Like, okay, now they have a moral dilemma. Like, do we risk brand damage just to enhance our wealth?
Well, you got 50 golfers doing this right now with the Saudi Arabians, okay. Right?
So, right. But how is that criminal? So you and I make a decision that we don't care about human rights. We're just going to take the money and go to Qatar to have the World Cup.
Well, and you're in business with criminals million. Then. Is it criminal? No, you're in business with criminals.
Yes.
So am I corrupt. In the mafia? No, but I do business with the mafia.
It's corrupt. I agree. It's corrupt, right? Like, and the problem is that same year, you know, like the U.S., we only paid $50 million and we wanted to get the bid. And it's like, well, sorry, guys, you probably should have not given us the $50 million without some kind of guarantee, because now you're pissed because you wasted your $50 million and those guys gave us $200 million. I mean, look, there is no disputing the corruptness of it. Where I have a hard time. Now, the only place I can go with the criminality is they claim to be a nonprofit organization. And I don't even know how difficult it would be to run an international nonprofit organization that then you have to navigate the nonprofit rules in all, you know, in 100 countries that you participate. So,
or just base yourself in Switzerland where you can hide all the money, which is what they did.
I get it. That's what I'm saying. So that is where, to me, it flirts with criminality. But you understanding the origins, which is why I enjoyed the show, like they got together and then Sepp Blatter, he wasn't president. He came in as like a, I don't know, football development guy. He's the one that went and got Coke to sponsor Argentina World Cup in like 78 or something. And it was sports washing back then because Argentina was a terrible place at the time. Like there was all kinds of bad stuff going on. And if you make something.
Well, Coke sells Coke in China, Russia, right? So like, and Venezuela and the Philippines and anywhere else and Saudi Arabia and anywhere else where they kill their citizens and they don't have what we would call a democracy. We almost didn't have a democracy here 2.5 years ago. You know, we had animals climbing the Capitol with guns trying to take over the government and a president standing down the street saying, sure, come on in. What election? We won the election. You all are liars. That happened here.
I think
that happened here.
I know.
And we still haven't put the guy in jail yet. So to say that whatever they're doing is worse than what we're doing here, I don't know. We've got the World Cup here in 4 years, right? But I'm trying to, in my mind, watch this Qatar thing. And the sports washing thing isn't, this is who we are. It's the cover up of who they are. And how this all happened, and the fact that somehow this was on the up and up. None of this was on the up and up. None of it. On the day when we're starting mobile wagering, by the way, I got John Martin off from the Maryland Lottery talking about, is it good or bad that I can bet on my phone and they're going to market your daughters when they're in college to gamble on their phone and like all that. Okay. But like it was happening illegally in the streets here for the last 150 years. The fact that the state's in on it now, does it make it right? Does it make it less addictive? Does it make it easier to get it? All of that. Yeah. We're in on it now. We're in on weed now, right?
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's scary that we are unleashing weed and gambling on our society.
Well, we've already unleashed AK-15s, right? I mean, we've already, after we had another murder in the overnight group of murders down in Virginia, you know, we're making it easier to do wrong, right? Which is probably why our grandparents, if they came back, they'd say FDR wouldn't put up with this. Kennedy and Eisenhower, we even Nixon wouldn't have put up with this.
Yeah, it's a crazy world.
But we are, you know, we're flirting with that. But the part of the soccer thing that's amazing to me is how it's being presented by Fox and how it's they have not in any way. This FIFA Uncovered thing and Netflix, it's its own media thing. I mean, Grant Wall is the number one soccer writer in this continent, right? Grant lived in Fells Point for a long time. I know Grant well. He wore a shirt with a soccer ball and rainbow around it, and they were refusing to let him into the stadium 48 hours ago.
Right.
Because he had a shirt on with a rainbow on it.
So Fox isn't going to be the one who, you know, in the intros or in and out of commercials is going to show the atrocities that are going on there. Like, they're not going to do that. But in today's world, no one doesn't know that's going on. No one doesn't.
But anyone willing to tell that story is also being threatened, is my point. I'm a media member. I've been thrown out, publicly in front of the biggest organization. I'm one of three people that cover the team. And if the Ravens would have murdered me, they would be like, well, what time did they play? Did they play at 1 or 4 this week? And what's the spread? Because there is no concern, to your point, for corruption that leads to criminality. If we decide, well, it's just corrupt, it's not criminal, we watch the game at 1 o'clock, or we watch the game at 7 a.m., or we bet on the game, or we buy tickets for the game, or we buy drinks for the people who sponsor the game. Well, no one cares.
Where's the person who stands up and says, okay, look, this is not okay, so don't watch. Right? Don't go, don't watch. Like, where's that person when they made the decision to go to Qatar and everyone's like, oh my gosh, what have you? This is criminal, blah, 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 the bribes. But when that happens, who is the organization? Who is the leader? Who is the person that says, it's fine. If they want to ruin that, let them ruin it. I'm going to, the same year, 6 months before, 6 months after, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have a global cup, and we're going to host it in France, and everybody can come to that. Don't go to that because that's, you know, bad. And instead of Adidas, we've got Under Armour. And instead of Coke, we got Pepsi. And instead of McDonald's, we brought Burger King.
Whatever. And instead of Budweiser, we have O'Doul's.
Whatever. I mean, I don't think it's a cover-up. I think everyone is becoming extremely aware of how this third world country chooses to behave and is unabashed, unashamed of who they are and what their rules are.
And like, their wealth.
Hey, FIFA, sure, the gay people can come. Just tell them not to be too gay, right? Like, sure, you can come. We'll have beer. Oh, wait, did you already book everything? Because now we've decided that we're just going to keep the beer in the hotels. Like, what? I mean, everyone knows these stories, so it's all in front of everyone.
Did Budweiser really think the taps were going to be open during the game?
I think that the rule was, prior to 2 days before it started, that you could get beer in the stadium, you just couldn't sit in your seat and drink it.
I think it's better for Budweiser that the Ecuadorian fans are yelling, we want beer, in the middle of the game.
You know? I think it's a whirlwind victory for Budweiser. Like, when in the last century has anybody felt sorry for the beer people? You know, like, oh my gosh, look at, they're getting screwed. How can you not sell beer? So
I just feel terrible for the poor Welsh fans, you know, who playing well and can't even get a beer, you know?
There is so much to it. It's such an amazing, like, you want to tune in just to see the train wreck. And to your point, that's not what you get when you tune in. You get some bad officiating and some terrible plays and some diving. Right. But it's interesting. Sorry.
No, Cole's here. Yeah. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I don't know how we got onto the soccer thing or the sports watch thing. I asked you about football and you started talking about soccer. What's wrong with you?
Right, because that's what it is right now. I mean, I'm excited to watch. I haven't been able to like fit it into my schedule. You know, here's a question for you. So you know how when they do the Olympics, like they'll have the 8 o'clock broadcast, and it's really all the sports that went on earlier in the day, but like you just don't pay attention so you can go home and watch it at prime time.
Well, there used to be an embargo. They used to like say Mark Spitz is swimming. We're not going to tell anyone until 8 o'clock tonight, right? Like that was the way that worked 50 years ago.
But you know, I mean, they'll take like the stuff that they know everybody really wants to watch and they'll rebroadcast it at 8 o'clock for everybody to watch.
Right.
Why couldn't I watch U.S. Wales at 8 o'clock on Monday?
Because it's on at 1 o'clock on or 2 o'clock on Friday, and it's Black Friday, and you're off. Last Black Friday, you were hanging with me.
That one I'm not worried about. No, I'm not worried about that. I agree with you that one. But the one on Monday, the first match, it was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was Wales. And I can't. You know why I can't watch that at 8 o'clock on Monday night?
Because football's on.
Yeah, right. Because football's on.
From Mexico City. right. all the way.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. It's, I mean, yeah, like you should have plenty of sports to consume for like 4 days. Like if that's what you want to do, you can, and in your case, you can have turkey sandwiches at every sporting event you watch.
I saw this idea for turkey sandwiches and taking leftovers, like my wife will do this with leftover stuffing, putting it into muffin containers, and then working cranberry, turkey, yeah. maybe even like a green of some kind, to doing these savory leftover muffins. And then you take a dollop of the sweet potato and use that as sort of like an icing on it, right? And maybe even some gravy. I'm thinking of doing this just to make a mess at some point this weekend, because we have so much turkey left over, so much sides and all that, that I'm going to try to get creative with leftovers here, Billy.
So I can appreciate that. That sounds wonderful. I would exclude the cranberry only because if I'm on this savory taste, I don't really need.
No, you have to have a little sweet in there.
And I can't do that, but I do like, taking leftover mashed potatoes and making potato pancakes. I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm even thinking maybe you make like silver dollar potato pancakes and put them at the bottom of your muffin cup.
Ooh, then, and then have it caramelize crispy, and get hard.
It's crispy on the bottom. Yeah. Oh,
wow. All right. Ideas here. We're cooking with gas, Bill Cole. Yeah, you did a big piece last week on the solar side. Give me a little roof side, because we talked about solar panels, but where are we? I'm wondering, because the cold weather, the ice, like all the bad things that happen in wintertime, this is when they start to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with the roof is like, you know, we're always encouraging people to be proactive as opposed to reactive. And the list of maintenance items isn't all that long, and it's not very expensive to be proactive, but the benefit, right, is far outweighs the cost in terms of keeping your gutters clean, keeping your drains clean, fixing little problems before they become big problems. Because if a little opening creates today, it doesn't necessarily mean water's getting in today, but as water starts to sit in that opening, it freezes and it expands and thaws. And then that little opening continues to grow until you have a significant problem. So just doing a once or twice a year sort of like checkup is extremely life extending for roofs. So we're doing a lot of that. It's like kind of the season for that, you know, once the leaves are mostly
dry. You fill up and walk around the roof. Is that what it is, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, that's like the best proactive thing people can do to just protect their asset, that facility. So it's good stuff. Still running strong. Always hiring good guys, you know, like other guys might get slow and we're just standing here, our doors open. And like, there's no reason why if you're a skilled tradesman in this community, and you don't feel like the company you work for appreciates you, like you deserve to come here and find out how we take care of our people. I mean, there's a reason why fathers have brought their sons to work for us. You know, like that's the best compliment you can ever get, is if a dad is, you know, brings their son to work for you. So
103 years now, is that where we are?
Yeah, well, you just kind of stop counting at 100. It's kind
well,
of
Mike like Roosevelt's upset at me because I still have the Cole 100 year logo up at Baltimore Positive. Yeah. So I got to pull that down and get the regular 103 year Cole logo.
Yeah, I've got some logo security people running around here yelling at people about their email signatures. So
one thing you know is that I'm still going with this cup, and it's getting a little beaten up and stuff. I like it. It's antiqued is what
vintage.
I would call it. Bill Cole is here. He joins us each and every week to talk about potato pancakes and soccer corruption. And at some point he might even give me, by the way, I was supposed to be in Jacksonville all weekend. I was supposed to on Monday go to Epcot, even though I was going to go last month with Tampa. I have been officially denied credentials again this week for going to Jacksonville. So I canceled my flight. I canceled my hotel. I canceled Sunshine. And I'm just going to sit around and watch football at 5 a.m. each and every morning during this fortnight of World Cup activity here.
Yeah. And maybe just because we need a little bit of the positive vibes, and who knows where these vibes go out into the universe. But like you mentioned it earlier, sort of in passing, like cut it out with the shooting people, you know, like I think it's like 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row where I'm waking up to news reports about some kind of like,
I'm going to make a prediction. There'll be 2 or 3 or 4 more between now and Christmas. How about that?
I know.
And listen, if I were like, 10 years old in Dundalk in 1978, and someone would have said to me, by the time you're 50, everyone is going to have a machine gun and you're just going to be able to get it whenever you want. And everybody's going to have a gun. How do you think that's going to work? I'd say, well, I bet a lot of people are going to die if everybody has a gun, because I'm 54 now. And I know that if I had a machine gun here at all points, there would be times we might be inclined to use it under anger or under inebriation, right, or under malice or right, ego or vengeance or all right, of these human characteristics we all have to hurt one another.
Right. But the best defense is like, open your eyes, be aware of the people around you, and look after your fellow man. Like, you probably know somebody in your life right now who isn't having the best go of it. And like, I don't know, reach out to them. Like, I feel like this is a neglect issue. We're all so busy, so self-consumed, and so just worried about our own issues that we just don't pick people up ever anymore. And then these are the ones that are falling between our fingers, and bad stuff is happening because we're neglecting people who need help. So, you know, somewhere around here, like, cut it out with the shootings and go, you know, help somebody that needs some help.
I'm glad you said that, because you know what the next thing I'm doing when I leave you right now? I have my Goodwill shirt on. I'm going down to the convention center in an hour to feed folks less fortunate than myself. Our friends at Wise Markets have gotten involved with the turkeys. Our friends at Goodwill, you know Lisa Rosiniak. I know you know Jonathan Baylog real well. They do this every year on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So I'm glad that you're sending me out with that message today. That's, and I'll take stuff, that downtown with me as I put my mask. I didn't shave today because the mask would break me out a little bit. So, and underneath the mask, they won't know that I didn't shave, and they won't care because they don't have much and we have more, and we're doing things for them. So I appreciate your little reminder that it is Thanksgiving and there's the thanks and the giving part. I'm working on the giving part today.
Appreciate you, man.
I'll be thankful at 2 o'clock on Friday that I have beer because I'm not in Qatar watching the game. I am Nestor. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries, as well as Window Nation. A reminder to everybody, these cold days, we talk about roofs, the new windows I have. Hey, Bill, I don't think it's a joke. When Window Nation says, we're going to cut your energy, the place stays warmer on cold days. I woke up this morning, it was 20 degrees, and I wasn't freezing. Thank you, Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're taking care of our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Bill Cole joins us each and every week. His good-looking face is now memorialized and cartoonized out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. I'm Nestor. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there. Take care of each other. Eat your leftovers. And by all means, the three most important words for the holiday are a la mode. Make sure you add some ice cream to that pie. We are BaltimorePositive.com.